Hello and welcome to the regular episodes of Darker Tides, the Carrion Crown actual play podcast. I hope you all enjoy, and I'll see you on the other side. Holy shit, and we're back for yet another fun and entertaining episode of this crazy, crazy podcast. Okay, so where did we last leave off?
Last time we were debating whether or not we wanted to go directly to the former prison or if we wanted to go to the graveyard to see if we could not track down this cache of weapons. That's where we were at.
Okay. And we were waiting for the Temple of Pharasma priest to come talk to us, right?
He already came and talked to us.
Oh.
He's still working on the list.
Yeah. Was working on the list, yeah. I ignored it because I don't like Temple of Pharasma.
I believe his name was Grimborough?
Grimborough.
I found a list of 11 names, though, that mean nothing.
as
far as I know.
Yeah.
I just don't like being told I can't go places.
Pretty cool.
I believe for a rogue, you just found a list of aliases.
Hey! That's an idea.
So it's either head to Harrowstone or to the crypt.
I think we should go to the gravesite first.
I agree. There might be some interesting things there. And maybe a weapon or two.
Oh, you think?
Maybe it's a safe cache or holy weapon.
We need to...
It's possible.
Where is his journal? Because that was mentioned in his journal. Do we have that paper?
Yes.
There?
It's right there.
Is there any clues as to where that is?
Yes, it specifically says.
It does.
That it's at the crypt somewhere between somewhere and somewhere else.
Mm-hmm. Really? So helpful.
I thought I had it written down, but I apparently...
It is located... Near the...
I can say, I can't read this. I need new glasses.
Let me see if I can... Let me decipher here. The passage is, I know that the Church of Pharasma used to store them in a false crypt in the Restlands at the intersection between Eversleep and the Black Path.
Yeah, that was close.
Yeah, somewhere in somewhere.
Somewhere and somewhere else.
Some street, some other street.
You didn't even say that.
Okay.
So what were you going to ask?
I was going to suggest that it would... I was going to suggest... has a little look at the party and be like, you know, if we are going to go to this crypt, actually, an idea that I received from High, talking to the priest of Pharasma, might not be so bad. Because, you know, probably don't want to tell them we're right in the crypt. That doesn't seem wise. But just finding out about the area between Eversleep and the Black Path would probably be a good idea.
Mm-hmm.
If we want to talk to them.
I mean, we've been to the cemetery before.
True. We do know where it is.
It can't be that far.
So, I mean, hey, it's not. Like, impossible to figure out where, and all of the paths are actually labeled. So I'll pull up the map. Okay.
So looks like we're off to the cemetery.
Mm-hmm. This map totally shows exactly where the place is.
Is there an X where the?
There's where the professor is laid to rest, and then there is also where the, this is the whole entirety of the graveyard. And this is the Everlast, and this is the Black Path. So it's, you only have three locations you can really kind of search for it.
Okay.
So.
Would you like to search in the correct
one? In the correct one. I'm sure you would. I would like for you to wander around aimlessly for several hours.
Days even.
I mean,
we're here for 30 days. I mean, we can look
around.
It's not
like we don't have time.
It is true. You do have time. Time is on your side.
Everyone loves a nice stroll in the cemetery.
Yes, it is.
At least one party member likes a nice stroll in the cemetery.
Yes, it just
the cemetery that you didn't come into the cemetery with.
Yes, it just shakes his head and stares up in the sky. Why am I going through these trials?
Because it's good for you.
No experiences are good for you. And they bring it on.
They do.
It builds character.
Or it builds a tougher hide.
Character, scar, same thing.
Yeah. I mean, I see no difference between the two.
You ready?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Peal of thunder off the distance.
I'm not being responsible for that.
So we go up to the northeast of that map and we start looking around. Is there anybody
else? You start looking around on the map, you see nothing on the map other than markers.
We travel.
To the Restlands. Okay. It's actually very quiet, very peaceful.
Very restful.
Very restful.
Very aptly named.
Yeah.
If people are dying to get in.
You get there, there's several freestand. Most of the area is mausoleums as opposed to in the ground rooms.
Okay.
So
are we in a wetlands here?
No, but the river's not that far.
Okay.
So whenever you've got a lot of like farmland rivers, you end up with.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't necessarily always push everything up, but it's just as easy to do it this way. And their culture kind of does this.
Well, so, and especially in an area like this, your good land would be used for farming.
And
your hard
land.
To dig land would be used for
grazing.
Other crap. If you don't have to dig in the hard to dig ground.
And you can build a couple of rock buildings. So. It's actually not that hard to find because it's a when you find the location of the two roads, there's one on either side, and then there's one right across from you. Two of them have names, one of them has no name.
I'm going to go with the no name one.
Wow.
So, but I mean, it looks like it's somewhat maintained. Like, the caretakers at least come by and clean stuff off of it. You know, keep it from becoming just some overgrown pile. You know, like, most of the area is maintained. And it is. There are a pair of, like, leering gargoyles and a single stone door. With, like, a rusty-looking lock set into the south side. And yeah, that's pretty much about what you can tell, just from, like, the roadside. But it's a granite building. So, I mean, it's going to stand for a while.
Yeah. I'm going to detect magic.
Okay.
Three rounds, trying to see if there's any auras in the area, or anything standing out. I imagine there's not, but there's six, sorry.
Not that's easy to tell at this distance. I mean, the distance is the big trick on this one, because you have to be within, I think, 25, 30 feet.
60 feet. 60 feet home.
Okay, yeah. It's hard to tell. From, like, in this area?
There's probably
no.
Okay, so,
For once at the door, I'm not going to ask if we should talk.
Mm-hmm.
It is You could.
I let's knock and just see if we get an answer. That could be very interesting.
So you knock on the stone door, and you get no answer. And it's very hollow. Like, you know, there's nothing. It's lots of open space is what it seems like.
Remember, you should always be courteous.
Does it appear to be trapped?
Do you have trap sense?
I do not have trap sense.
I will check to see if there's a trap.
Okay, well, you would need to go ahead and make a perception check.
I'll make 14. I'll make a perception check looking for mechanical traps.
Okay.
I can't do anything about magical traps.
Okay. You don't find anything, but you, being of the pilfering persuasion.
Yeah. He racist, sir.
I believe he is our acquisitions man.
Yeah.
He's the acquisitions manager.
Yeah, acquisitions manager.
You notice that the lock itself is actually broken. And the clasp has been melted by acid.
It really doesn't want us to get any.
No. Oh, like, it's destroyed the lock, and it was, like, kind of put back together so it looks like it was nothing's been done to it.
Okay. Well, it looks like the lock's broken, so I guess we can just go on.
So, I mean, to, like, if it was anybody else probably that just was walking by, they wouldn't. It looks like it's still fine. You're just like, okay, yeah, no, he burned this thing up. Whoever went in here last, they burned it. They didn't bother with a key. So.
So I'm going to push open the door.
Okay. You have, what you have here is, do you have a light source with you?
I'm sure someone,
the Aristotle, will help us out with that.
Okay. We need to have some kind of a light source to be able to see in here. It is so there's a small set of stairs that go down from the looks of this. So I'm going down, even though that makes no sense. Oh, yeah, it does. So it goes down. And then it opens up into a room that's probably, you guess, maybe about 30 by 30. And you can see a pair of doors on the other side, and then you see two almost what appear to be like statues about midway down on either side.
Statues of what?
They appear to be just people. Unless you have knowledge local or knowledge history. Okay. Specifically regarding Ravengrow in its earliest days.
I only rolled like a 9.
No, you have no clue.
So I have knowledge local, that'd be 20 plus 6 room to roll.
Mm-hmm.
21,
okay. They're humans dressed in not robes, just kind of like clothes. They don't appear to be anything special. Just from where you're looking. They don't seem to be familial. So it's just like two statues of people. So.
Do they match the surroundings? Do they look like they belong in?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they look. Are you going to go in and like examine them?
Sure. I'll walk. Okay. I'll approach.
All right. You start looking at them. Do you have stonemasonry of any type? Profession? Stoneworker?
No.
Craft stone masonry?
I do not.
Okay. You can give me a perception check.
Whichever one he doesn't go up to, I'm going to look at the other one.
Okay. Same thing applies.
I'm
going to notch an arrow and hold it.
Okay.
I did a 17 perception.
Okay.
22.
Okay. You, by looking at them, you can see that there's the base. Then you have, like, you can see, like, where there's spots where, like, at, like, the meat, where they were carved, and then the two pieces were set together. And then, like, about another 2-3 feet, there's another section. Like, they're just pieces of granite stacked to form the, just like you would find in things of this type. Like, it's not, like, a massive, like, hulking figure, or it looks like it was built to be able to get through the door and be carried by a couple of guys. Instead of, like, it's a ton and a half. Let's see if we can move it in here.
Well, that, and it would also indicate a little bit cheaperness, too, to fit in, because
yeah.
Then you don't have to buy a 6-foot block of granite. You can buy 6 1-foot blocks of granite.
And about this time, nothing happens. No, actually, something does. As you are, you know, wandering around looking at your statue, you can see, one drop, something drops onto the top of the statue, and you see this, like, it is, well, it doesn't talk, so there's, you don't have to worry about that. Not really. I mean, it has rudimentary, but, it, now is going to, well, sort of.
What's the character then?
Vedris.
Oh, Vedris, come look at this statue. Oh, see something quite interesting.
You don't get that far just yet. But it does bite you. Well, it tries to, anyway. As the giant head of a centipede lashes out at your face. Does a 15 hit your armor class?
It would. As Marvus is a 14, right?
Yes, so it is higher than your armor class, so therefore it gets.
Yes, I'm looking at. You were looking at the right one, the one that just said AC.
AC, okay. Yeah. 14. But,
all right. Okay. So, here we go. The first combat, I get the first thing. This. So you take 2 points damage. As it just, like, latches onto your face. And bites through your mask. And what I need you to do for me...
So it's like an alien that latches onto my face?
Well, it's a giant centipede.
Okay.
Like a 6-foot-long centipede.
Almost like an alien.
And I need you to make a fortitude save.
For all of the listeners here, I'm the noob in the group.
Yes. Which is part of the reason why I'm doing this as well. It's to kind of get you... There's a lot of big things that'll happen.
Randomly pointing this stuff to a 16.
Fortitude plus 3.
D20 plus 3.
Fifteen.
Okay. You feel the burn of...
I'm also wearing a mask.
Yes, I know. It's bitten through the mask.
Oh,
I know, but now you're going to have to get one. Mm-hmm. But you do feel the burn of, like, poison, but you don't feel it do anything. Like, you feel it, like, try to get in you, but it doesn't really seem to affect you. And now let's go ahead and have everybody go ahead and roll for initiative.
Ten after my modifier.
17. That's plus agility, right?
Yeah. Yes, you have an initiative modifier and it's actually on your sheet.
16.
Yeah, there's a little box next to it wherever it says initiative, and that'll be the total that you add to.
It's down there with base attack and speed.
So, it will be
bad. Yep, I got it right.
It'll be the bad guys first, and then 16, plus off, Ander, and me.
Alright, so, he gets to bite you again.
Bitch. But I know it's coming this time, so I get a bonus, right?
No, you just get to have your request.
That sucks.
Because you still haven't gone before that. You still haven't gone yet. So you're still technically flat-footed.
Yeah, so actually you...
Oh, this counts as flat-footed?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, then he bit the shit out of me.
Okay, well, there's the first one. And... Okay, so... Joe... sitting over here by the other one where Blunt just dropped down.
it's a shame.
It is. Does a 20 hit you? Flat-footed?
Very good.
All right, good.
Actually, that's scary. It doesn't get by a lot.
I'm sure of it. And I am certain that an 18 will hit you.
If I'm still flat-footed, yes.
Yeah. Okay. So, Joe, you take 5 points of damage.
That's not very nice.
It is not. Richard, you take 1. And I need you both to make fortitude saves again.
That would be a 16 for me. Okay.
A 16 for me.
Okay. Yours bites the crap out of your face. I mean, and it latches on and just shreds part of it.
Well, the face.
The face. It's right at the same height as the head.
I was already not pretty.
So yeah. And yours just kind of just clamps down again. Both of you feel that sting from the poison that doesn't quite settle in. So, who is next?
It is 16's go next.
So, my immediate reaction would be to swipe at the thing to knock it off.
It's not actually on you.
Oh, gotcha.
Okay. It's actually attached to, like, it's like wrapped around the statue, and it just lunged out at you.
Okay.
Is what happened.
Actually, so if I step back, I can cast. Is that correct?
If you took a 5-foot step, you could cast.
All right, so I'm going to step back, hopefully a little bit out of its range.
Okay.
I will cast Cause Fear. Can I make it run away?
Cause Fear is a mind effect?
Yes. This is one living creature.
Is that it?
This is casting time one action. Range close, 25 plus 25 feet. Target one living creature with what? Mind effect. Yeah, mind effect.
Which means insects or vermin are unaffected by such a thing.
Ah, okay, well, that's good to know.
I will give that one to you, since this is like the first time you're playing.
First time playing the game, first time we're playing a spellcaster. So this is totally new for me. I don't want to do Burning Hands.
Okay.
Yeah, that's actually, I forgot I had that one. So, cone shaped burst, instantaneous duration, what is it, 1d4 per caster level.
Range touch?
It's a cone shape plus a
cone. Same.
Very thick.
Yeah.
So it's got a reflex save.
Yeah, 16 reflex.
Save rat.
Yeah.
Then my caster level is 1.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But at this point, damage is damage is damage.
Right.
Yes. It has a lovely. There it is. Okay. How much damage did you do?
3.
3.
Okay. Which sets it on fire and causes it to run away screaming and regretting the day that it messed with a badass and a cool mask.
It screeches. And you can hear the armor like popping and as things underneath it like overheat and then these like steam shoot out from part of it. It's pretty gross. It's still alive, but it does not look happy.
If only do we have lunch, it's partially cooked.
Does it look severely wounded?
Do you have heal?
Actually, I think I do, yes.
Okay, well, you would also need to make that as a check, which would be part of a
move action. Okay.
A thing, so yeah.
So I can't do that now.
Right.
My turn, I will carefully aim at this nicely charred.
So you're gonna shoot up that one?
Yep.
Okay.
Possible crit.
Okay.
And that's only a 9.
Which is not high enough.
Mm-hmm.
Unlike in 5th edition, where anytime you roll a 20, it's an automatic critical.
Yeah,
you confirm it for the second.
4 points of damage.
Okay. And you impale it, and it, like, falls off, like, slumps off of the statue with an arrow sticking out of it.
Doom, doom, doom. One down.
You're up next if he's done.
Oh, I'm up. Okay. I thought I was last.
I may have rolled for the rail.
No, that's fine.
It should be 20.
Okay.
It should be up in this section.
I've got two more things in my character sheet. Okay, so can I move over there? Within view of that thing?
15?
Yeah. Okay, so I'm going right there.
Okay.
And then I'm going to draw my dagger and throw it at the creature.
Okay.
And add dex to that, or?
You would add your dex, so your ranged attack bonus?
Okay. So it's the number plus the range back plus.
Yes.
Okay, so that's.
No, that already takes that into account.
Okay, great.
Giving you.
Okay, so that's 19.
So 19.
So move and standard?
Moving.
Because he doesn't have a DAB yet.
Oh, yeah. You don't have a DAB. Your base attack bonus is zero right now.
Mm.
Right? So you can't move and draw at the same time. So you can move and draw. You can move, and then you can draw your dagger and throw it next round.
Oh. Well, that was a wasted roll.
My bad. I forgot that you were a rogue. Because you have no skills. in the rogue league.
I'm not like that. I'm not
that kind of thief.
Not that kind of rogue.
So.
I'm just gonna think I guess. Guess
you run up and you get your dagger up, and you're ready to throw it.
Okay.
Walking a dead off. That is a 10.
You will not. You swing mightily and it dodges its head out of the way.
And I will 5 foot step diagonally so that
Okay.
That is it for me. Back to the creepy crawling.
Back to the creepy crawling. Yes. Okay. It lunges at you and it misses. It falls short. So back around to
maybe the 16th. A joke would have been funnier if it rolled up to the rogue.
Yes.
All right. So I'm going to cast bleed on it. Range 25 feet. One living creature. Instantaneous. 15 will save.
Okay. Which it makes.
You can shoot over my head. It's fine.
I could have, but
I could actually shoot. I can actually shoot through you because I have a trait.
Okay. Can I take a step back away from it again? You can do that, and
it's a network, so I'm done.
I'm talking about don't shoot in my head.
Go ahead and give me another roll.
Okay.
Steve, you randomly hit your buddy.
Shit.
I'm standing behind you.
That is.
Why is this a scary dog axe conversation?
13.
Which is not enough to hit, which is a fumble.
Lowered guard. You provoke attacks of opportunity from all threatening foes. You're not a foe, are you?
No.
Okay. He could be.
If you hit him with the arrow, he might be.
How are you feeling towards him today?
Fine. He didn't call me worthless. He called me worthless.
And then he didn't shoot over your head.
Yeah.
So,
appreciate it.
That is all from you. It is Andrew's going in.
Now I can throw my dagger?
Now I'm
going to chuck
that dagger.
You can throw your dagger, or you could step up and stab with it and get flanked from me.
Yes.
Mm.
Which would give
you sneak attack damage if you hit.
It would give you sneak attack damage, and it would give you a plus to hit.
Let's do that. That sounds better.
Let's do that.
Not as cinematic, but better.
It actually could be pretty cool.
Okay.
So you'll get a plus two on top of that for.
Okay.
Being fun.
Okay. So that's
a potential crit.
That's a potential crit.
Okay.
Because
the crit range.
Oh, right, it's a 1920.
It's a 1920 because you're using the dagger.
Yeah,
so,
all right,
so okay. So roll again. So you do not confirm the critical.
Yeah.
But you hit. You still
hit. Yeah,
so
that's good.
So you do your damage.
Okay.
Which is...
should be 1d3. Yeah, should do
D6
things and
divide
by
half.
Hey!
It's a simple.
You also get your sneak attack damage.
Okay, where is that?
It's a d6.
Which should be
it's
a d6.
D6.
So,
okay.
That's something weird.
One. And five. So 6 points of damage.
6 points of damage.
Okay. So this thing is like totally focused on on the barbarian.
I am providing a masterful distraction.
Yeah, basically. And you run up and you grab a hold of the side of this like statue and you hoist yourself up and just like boom, drive it right through the head of the centipede and into the head of the statue.
After he falls back down, I'll pull his dagger out for him and hand it back.
So is it dead now?
It is in fact dead.
Apparently.
I'll clean off my dagger and look at 6 feet and go, who's worthless now?
I tip the broken part of my mask. Well done, sir.
Alright.
Heston is just looking at these things like, some jambalaya.
Jambalaya.
Okay.
I would also like to check the ceiling to make sure there's not any more that are going to drop down on us.
You see, there's like fine cracks.
Hmm.
They're big enough that these guys probably could have crawled through. But that's what you've seen when you look around in there.
From this point on, while looking around in here, I will keep my weapon drawn.
Okay.
Just in case.
Sure. Totally makes sense. You are now in this room. You're in before, and you still see there's two doors. But that's about all that's in this room right now. And the two carcasses.
So would someone like to check those doors? For anything untoward and funny.
Untoward or funny.
I move up the door and I roll a 26 perception check. I don't move all the way up the door, as you can see, but I am 5 foot away from the door. Just looking it over, the left door to be exact. Just looking over the left door. Do I see anything that looks like a trap or anything like that?
No, what you do see is you do see a very... You can see where one of the doors, this one in particular, where it was partially opened. Because, I mean, this is, like, there's dust and dirt. You don't see a whole lot of the way of tracks in here. You can see, like, where somebody had walked through relatively recently. And you can see where the door had been pushed open and then closed.
Okay, and that's the right door that's been pushed?
Yeah.
Okay, then I will proceed to the right door.
And it hasn't been opened all the way. It's probably opened about a foot and a half. Maybe 2 feet? Enough that somebody could slide through?
I'll proceed to the door at the party, so you ask them if they're ready to go on.
Let's go.
Sure.
Does anybody need any healing before we move on?
Always.
I have the ability to heal somebody once a day.
I'm okay.
Yeah.
I'm pissed, but I'm okay.
If he's okay, I'm okay.
He's your nobility.
Sometimes you have to lead by example.
Oh, is that what you're doing?
Yes.
Okay. Okay.
I embrace the pain.
Leading by example. I mean, I was horribly maimed by a giant centipede.
Or how badly did it hit me?
Actually, particularly
third of
my hit points.
So can I look at him and say, you look really bad?
I still probably have more hit points than 3/4 of one.
He's been damaged, but yeah,
I'm super stout.
He's hurt, but he's not going to fall over. I mean, if something bad were to happen, you know, he could go down, but you're probably just as likely to go down as he is.
Gotcha.
So
if you die, I will study you.
So I will
somewhat reassuring. Somewhat reassuring.
From your description, I will pull open the door.
Okay.
And I will pull it open more than a foot and a half if it pulls open.
Yeah. Screeches on the ground.
They really need to hire better maintenance here.
So from where you're at right here, looking this way, you can kind of see where some of that is, but past where that is, you're not really sure.
I think of religious significance.
Like pieces of rubble and stuff that have fallen over the years.
I've opened the door, sir.
So you're saying nobility should lead? I will walk into the room.
Okay.
Where did you cast your light?
On the left ear of my wolf headdress.
Well, you will need to go in with me.
Yeah, you will.
I will go in with him, but I won't be the first one through the door.
And I'll step in.
I'll be right behind him.
Look in with my dark vision.
Well, once he had light in there,
that was it.
Illuminati. So further in, you can see where the stairs continue to drop further in.
I see dimly that marks for that.
Yeah.
Dimly, because my light almost goes out 20 feet.
Yeah. So from you, it's 5, 10, 15, 20, and it's the dim illumination. And about here is where it's kind of, you don't see anything. So
I'm going to step over here. I'm leaving you pretty much in the dark back there, by the way.
I assumed I was going up with everybody else. I wasn't choosing to stay in the other room.
I figured that.
But
would you like to draw your?
I'm going to cast a new light spell on the shaft of the arrow I'm holding, and then I'm going to like shoot into the base of this.
Okay.
So that room is now lit.
Which could also be a very good one.
I successfully.
You successfully hit the square?
Yes.
Okay.
Does it make a sound?
So now we are all in dead light. It's lit over there.
Well, you can clearly see that it's just a sarcophagus.
I will advance forward.
That's when you die. I mean, it's nothing.
Typically, advancing forward kills you. Eventually.
I'll join them on the stairs.
And I will as well.
Once I get there, I am going to take a look and see what I can see.
Oh, okay.
I see a bright arrow.
Yes.
Very bright arrow.
What? Would you end up with a one?
No, it was a nine.
Oh, okay.
That's still not great.
It's not great, but...
Step up and look around at for a 17.
It's an empty room. I mean, there's a few other, like, bits and pieces. Like, there's
no weapons racks or anything like that, like we were expecting.
No? Bits and pieces. Things you would expect to see kind of in a crypt. Like, it's like a little table for, like, where you can put offerings or whatever. And then there's the sarcophagus.
I'll detect magic.
There is, something in this room. Your cone.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm...
Shoots forward, and...
Yeah, I'm detecting magic. Okay. There's something in here. The next round. What kind of something is it?
Let's see... That would be...
Second round, you just get the number.
Oh, number.
Number of different auras.
And the third
number
round.
Of different auras, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and specifically the power of the most potent aura.
And then the third round is when you know what kind it is.
And you know the location.
With an arcana check. You know.
Yeah, you have to. That's cool.
Oh.
Yeah, you have to make an arcana check.
Guess I'm going to have to take a rank in arcana next time.
So you can tell that there are probably three schools. three different types of auras?
There's probably three things in here that are some kind of magical in nature.
Well, they're really the same aura. Like there's like they're all together. Mm-hmm. Like you can tell that they're in front of you.
Okay. In the general vicinity of the casket.
You can tell distance, right? Yeah. With it at that point?
Third round.
Yeah.
So
third round you get the
location. So in the third round it's right there. It's okay. In the sarcophagus that you can see.
Okay, so there's magical stuff inside that.
I'm assuming the sarcophagus isn't a foot thick.
No.
So I'll step in and just let you know that, hey, there's magical stuff in there.
And that piques my interest tremendously.
You're free to open it.
No, I'll allow you to do that.
I'll open it.
I'll pass.
You open it?
I'll move up.
Alright, go ahead and give me a
strength check.
Yeah, let's just go with a strength check.
That is an 11.
An 11. So you... And it doesn't really move.
I cannot roll another 10 today.
So,
I will try again.
You'll try again.
And I will roll even lower.
Okay. Yeah, you just cannot seem to get leverage on this thing to move it. But you are trying to move it alone, so.
Who would like to assist me? Remember, if you're assisting, you only have to hit a 10.
I mean, I don't think I can assist, but.
Sure, you can.
Sure, give it a shot, sure. That would be an 8, so
you don't have
pretty close.
It was the moral support. That's a 21.
That is enough. You between the two of you, you get it started. Bless his little heart.
I lose the point.
He's trying it. I mean, red cheeks, like.
It was the camaraderie that allowed me to do it.
It is. And then you just kind of like slide it, and it pivots. He was pushing on the pivot point. So.
It's called physics.
So you finally
don't
get
any knowledge of.
Yes. Which is awesome for the record. I love it. So you finally get it to pivot. And in here. You see a fair amount of things. You see some rods about that long. Just like everything's kind of laid out. You see.
For those listening at home, that was about probably 18 or 20 inches.
Yeah, about 20 inches. Yeah, I said good radio. There's probably about 20. You estimate just by looking. There's probably about 20 arrows in there. Like a row of potions vials is what it looks like. I mean, they could be anything. You see another 6 vials. They're all in like, it's actually really well maintained. Like, it's like old, kind of dried out. Like velvet to keep like the vials from breaking and things like that as they were placed in. There's a total of 13 vials that are like actual vial shape.
Are any of them labeled?
Not.
The labels have rotten away.
Well, this is, who knows how long they've been here. There are 2 scroll cases, at least that's what they look like. There is also a wooden case that is about probably 3 feet by 2 feet and about maybe 4 inches thick or so. And you see the image of that scarab with the single eye glaring on it, on the top of it, that you remember from the manual of the Order of the Palatine Eye. Like, it's the same symbol. That is what you find in there. if that's what there is.
You said there were arrows in there, too?
Yeah. It looks like they're just kind of like all bunched up into one quiver.
I will go out there.
Okay.
I'd like to open the wooden cases in there.
Okay.
Would an arcana check do anything for me, or would I need to do a whole detect magic thing?
You need to do the whole detect magic thing, because it will tell you exactly what you're looking at.
Okay.
And that's why you have to do it that way, unless you have the identify spell.
Did that take? I mean, yeah. Actually, hold on.
Because that gives you a plus 20.
Is that a zero spell or
no? It's a first level.
You also have a decent spellcraft rating, so a more than decent spellcraft rating.
Yeah.
You should be.
Yeah, my spellcraft is plus 10. So all right, so I don't have identifies. So,
okay.
Detect magic.
Yes. So you do. You go through the same process. You know where they're at. You notice that. So, the things that are glowing to your eye, you have almost one... So, there was, like, a small, like, bolt-sized case of arrows, and then there was almost a full quiver.
Okay.
Okay? And the one that's almost a full quiver, like, that whole thing is lighting up to you.
Okay.
But you notice that they're different. Like, there's three different types of things to it. There are... five of those, so you had the six, five, and then, like, two, like, for the things. The five are lit up.
These are the vials.
Yeah, the vials. And then there's two more that are also lit up. All of the scrolls register as magic. And then something... several somethings inside the case.
The rods aren't magic?
No.
Another case isn't magic.
Something in the case. There are things inside the case that are magical.
Okay. All right, so I convey all of that to you. Whatever's in the case is magical. And so are the quiver of arrows. And I point out the vials, that one, that one, that one, that one, that one, that one. And, and of course, the scrolls.
Sorry, so you take one of the,
yep.
the one that's bolt sized. You pull them out, and all of the arrowheads are silvered.
Oh.
So, okay.
So, but that's for a crossbow.
No.
Oh.
That's just about the number.
Oh, okay.
It ends up being there's a dozen of them.
Okay.
So they wouldn't fit fill a quiver, okay. But.
They're silvered, but they're not magical.
Correct.
Okay. So mine's one inch.
And so on the third round, the spell tells me what school of magic, right?
Yeah.
You can make an arcana check for it.
Or you can make an arcana check and it will actually tell you what they are.
Well, spellcraft to see what it actually
yeah.
is.
Yeah. So if you have spellcraft, you can
do that. So yeah, you can spellcraft these to try to identify it.
Yeah. So
typically, most people skip the arcana check thing because if you spellcraft it, you know exactly what it is. You're
right.
Looking at it and going, well, it's invocation.
Yeah, and I don't really want to go digging through.
25.
Yeah. Okay, so. The first thing. So there's the three different bundles of arrows.
Okay.
Okay, so the first one, there are 10. And they're actually wrapped with like a cord. So they're all together. And they are plus one arrows. And there's 10 of them.
Okay.
Now, you have to do that for each one of these too, don't you?
Yeah.
That is your call.
Technically,
yes.
Technically, spellcraft check for each magic.
Yeah.
I'm probably not likely to fail, so.
To identify items, it's a 20.
15 plus the
caster level of the item.
Yeah, so. What's your base?
10.
You can fail. But not by much. For the sake of ease, we're just going to go ahead and...
Can he take it? If he takes 10, can he fail? And on any of it?
No, but you can't take... Well, yeah, you can take 10. So, yeah, you can do it.
Okay, I'll just do that. For the sake of expedience.
There are five that are bundled together, and they are plus one ghost touch arrows. And then there are two that are plus one undead bane arrows.
And I'm conveying all of this to you in character as...
The five potions that were together are all potions of cure light wounds. Then you have two potions of lesser restoration. That should also tell you something.
I wonder what the centipede did that I'm dead.
Nothing.
Exactly.
You have... Now, there are four scrolls. So just write scrolls, and then I'm going to tell you the spells.
Okay.
Because it's faster that way.
Okay.
You have Detect Undead.
Okay.
Two, Hide from Undead. And Protection from Evil. He's just okay. Get those stuff. You open the box.
Yes.
So, it is a dark wood case. Okay. The case alone, without anything on it, what's your appraise at?
Nothing.
Nothing. Alright. So, appraise isn't a knowledge.
It can be rolled untrained.
But it can be rolled untrained. So if you want to tell me, if you want to figure out what you think it might be worth?
Sure. If nothing else, I have high bluff, so. Nope, that's a two.
Okay, you are certain that it is worthless.
It's firewood.
Can, I have a plus five. I mean, I'm looking at the stuff.
You can look
so.
At it.
I mean, I'm not saying it's worthless. I'm
right, he's just like, he looks at it and he goes, eh, it's junk.
It's a box. It's a box. Yeah, it's mandolin.
Seven.
I'm assuming I've seen Darkwood before.
It's probably not worth that much. It's just a box.
It's just weird.
I agree.
I agree too.
It could have been worth something.
But it's shoddy workmanship.
It's shoddy workmanship.
I might have got a 10. No, I didn't even get a 10.
Okay.
Jesus. Nope.
So inside this, there are three objects of interest. In here, there is a spirit board with a brass spirit planchette. And there are four iron and glass vials that look roughly like this. Now they sit in their own velvet-lined indentures inside of the case. And there are four of them inside of it. There is space for 10. Six of them are missing. They are what are referred to, because you naturally are attuned to this sort of thing,
mm-hmm.
are haunt siphons.
Do I? And I know what that does. What is a haunt siphon?
I will read to you the short three-paragraph description.
Oh my God. That's the short version.
Well, basically, the glass vials are held within a stylized cold iron casing etched with strange runes, necromantic designs, or other eldritch markings. Within the vial roils a small wisp of white vapor, churning as if caught in a miniature vortex of air. To capture a haunt's energy within a haunt siphon, you need only twist the metal casing to open the vial in the same round that the haunt manifests. So it's a way to siphon off the energy that haunts will create. So it's just kind of a free pass from activating a haunt. Oh. Is what it basically boils down to.
And those who have not
haunts, trust me.
It's so different to the party.
Yeah. We'll talk about haunts later. Like when we do one. And then the spirit planchette. So they come in multiple varieties. There's brass, cold iron, silver. What it is they are used for, you can use them as alternate components for things of like augury spells. So anything you use to like speak with dead or any type of like, or augury. Or, you know, contact outer plane, any of those weird things, you can use that as a another type of device. What you can also do is use it, and we'll see what happens. I don't want to tell you guys too much, because I want you guys to play with things.
Well, my curiosity is going to definitely make me play with that.
Oh, I know. And that's going to be the fun part. But
I have a thirst for knowledge.
That will have to wait until next week.
Seize the GM is released under your Creative Commons Attribution, Non-Commercial, Share Alike 4.0 International License. All copyrighted material referenced herein is held by their respective owners. No infringement intended, and no claim of ownership is implied. The music for the show is Dark Times by Kevin MacLeod. You can find his work at Incompetech.com. And it is released under a Creative Commons by Attribution 3.0 license.